Well, we're glad that you're with us today. We are in week number 3, I believe, of our series called Truth Over Trend. And if you missed last week, I would encourage you to go online and get caught up on these message series. Last week, Jared tackled the trend of trust in yourself, which is going to be very similar to this week's message. But that's why we had Jared do last week and me do this week, because Jared and I are very different people, and I think you will understand that. If you missed last week, you missed an entire science lesson, like a college-level science. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that it was that high. It was for me. I didn't understand any of it, but I got his point. I understood the point, so I was really encourage you to go and listen to that. It was fascinating and awesome, so be sure to check that out. And then week 1 was great as well. So if you've missed any up to this point, get caught up, because it all builds up on itself. So what's similar this week, what we're going to be discussing, is the trend of believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. And we're going to be looking at the book of John a lot today. So if you brought your Bibles with you, you can pretty much go straight to John and stay there for most of the message. If you didn't bring it, that's okay. We have the scriptures on the screen for you to read. So Jared did this last week, and I really liked it. So we're going to do it again today. So repeat after me. Believing in yourself is not the same as belief in yourself. Still one more time. Believing in yourself is not the same as belief in yourself. Now, I know what you're thinking, semantics, right? Like, this is something that's just kind of silly, and you're right. It is a little bit silly, but I promise me, if you'll humor me for just a few minutes, I have a point to this. So believing in yourself, this concept of believing in yourself, is a healthy phrase. You should believe in yourself, and you should not doubt your abilities and your talents that God has given you. You should absolutely walk into places of influence with the authority and the power that God has given you, and not shrink back from doing God's will. Believing in yourself is a good thing. It's a healthy thing, right? We don't have to shrink back, because God has given each and every one of us something amazing to share with this world. Belief in yourself is a tricky phrase. You see, it's turned into this idea that you can't trust anybody or anyone, and that instead you should only put belief in yourself, because you're the only one who knows what's right for you. How many of you have heard these phrases before? Trust your gut. Follow your own instincts. Believe in yourself. Don't rely on others. Be your own best judge. Play it safe. Trust no one. Keep your cards close to your chest. Your own judgment is the best. Don't let anyone sway your decision. Only you know what's best for you. And finally, you do you, boo. That was a popular one when I was cool and a teenager and had my own slang. I don't think they say that. Do you say that anymore? Teenagers? No? So the word belief in yourself is different than believing in yourself, and it all comes down to grammar. People, what is a noun? A person, place, or a thing. Okay, what is a verb? An action word. Belief is what? What? It's a noun. Thank you, Laura. Belief is a noun because it is a thing. Thank you. Belief is a thing, and it is a noun. If you have a belief, then that is something that you believe, actively participate, and believe in. It is your belief system. It is set. It is not able to change. Like, this is my belief, right? If you are believing in something, it is a verb, which is an action. It's the action of the belief, right? So that's why it's true that belief in yourself is not the same as believing in yourself, because I can have, if I have belief in just me and my understanding and what I know, that can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous because it doesn't allow me to change my mind on anything. It doesn't allow me to grow. It doesn't allow me to believe anything else other than what is already put into my own head. Believing in yourself is an action. It's constantly changing. It evolves. It involves the action of consistently believing that in your belief, which is God. So if I believe in myself, it means that I set the standard of truth, which we've been talking about over the past few weeks, and we will continue to talk about. This can be dangerous. It's this concept of incurvatus in se. Did I say that right? Yes. Which we've been talking about over the past few weeks, which means curve inward on oneself. And if belief in myself, it means that I have, if I believe in myself, it means that I have the confidence in the truth, that I am who God says that I am the reflection of who God is, which is the imago Dei. So Jared drew a graphic last week. I cannot draw to save my life. Like, it would be stick figures and it would be really bad. So I have this graphic for you. Yeah. Okay. So the goal for us as individuals, this is the goal for us as individuals, and this is kind of where we've gotten to up to this point. This incurvatus in se, curved in on oneself, means that we only can have belief in ourself, that we are truth, that everything that we know is true, and that we can't be wrong, right? This weekend, we had to have a deal with the kids because they were correcting one another constantly, and it was like it wasn't even true information half the time, right? Like one kid would say something, and then the other one would come back and say, that's not true, this is true. And then it was just like this back and forth constant battle, right? And so we had to make a rule that we couldn't correct each other basically all weekend. And someone said, as soon as we set the rule, someone said, what was it? They said, yeah, that'll be hard. We set the rule, and they said, that'll be really hard. And then the other kid said, no, it won't. Incurvatus in se, curved in on one's self. You know the truth, you know what the truth is, and you can't open your mind to allow anything else in because you understand, right? It's this belief in myself. We have to get out of that cycle. And the way that we get out of this cycle is through this kenosis, which means to empty oneself. Everything that I am, everything that I know, everything that I understand has to be emptied out to allow something else to come inward. In other words, forget everything that you've ever been taught. A lot of people do this. They go through this stage in their life where they question everything, and that's great. That's part of this kenosis, is questioning everything, questioning your beliefs, questioning why you believe what you believe, because it's this emptying out of oneself. And what that does is that it makes room for something. And we have to be careful about what that something is that we allow to come back into us. Because a lot of people ask the questions, they go through this process, they go through this system of asking all of these questions, but then they don't allow the right thing to come in. They allow self to come back in, which then takes them back to curved in on oneself. But what we have to do at this stage, this kenosis stage, is we have to move to this next stage, which is the magodia, which is the reflection or the image of God, which is where God wants us to be. Because God wants us to have belief in him. I need two volunteers. And the volunteers that I need have to be super trustworthy. I have to trust you a lot. Okay, I need two volunteers. Okay, Roy. Okay, Rylan and Roy. Come up here. All right. Rylan, do you trust me? You do? Okay. Do you trust yourself? Okay. Do you think that you could walk from this podium right here to the door and to the back? Very good. Everyone give him a hand clap. Okay. Now come here. I'm not done with you. All right, now this is the part where I have to trust you. Come here, right here. All right, now close your eyes. Okay, do you think you could do it with your eyes closed? Okay, now spin around. Keep spinning. And stop. Now walk to the back. Do you trust yourself still? Oh, he's doing pretty good. Are you cheating? Okay, come back now. Come back. Eyes closed. Oh, he's wavering. Oh, he's wavering. He's not quite sure. Is he almost here? He doesn't know. His eyes are closed. Okay, good job. All right, have a seat. All right. Roy, are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Stand right here. Right here. Close your eyes. Spin. All right, stop. Roy, do you think that you could walk to the back of the room and back without opening your eyes? Do you believe in yourself? Let me ask you this. Okay, would you rather have me direct you? Okay, you need to take one more step to your left. Okay, now take two steps forward. All right, now walk freely until I tell you to stop. Stop. Take a step to the left. Walk freely until I tell you to stop. Stop. Do a 180, completely turn around. Take a step to your left. Walk freely till I tell you to stop. Stop. Take a step to your right. Walk freely till I tell you to stop. Stop. Why are you curving? Take a step to the right. Oh, too far. Step to the left. Small step. Now walk freely till I tell you to stop. All right, stop. Open your eyes. Sit down. Thank you, Roy. Now, Rylan did pretty good. He's a kid, and so he has this sense about him, his spidey sense of where he knows where the chairs are. And he did really good when he had his eyes closed. And he did really good when he had his eyes open, didn't he? Because he could see exactly what was happening in front of him. And so he had total 100% belief in himself that he knew exactly where he was going, right? There was no question about whether he was going to hit a chair or a table or if he was going to trip over something. He knew exactly what he's doing because he could see what was in front of him. But the second that sight stopped, there was like this question. Like on the way there, he was doing really good. He was like, I'm confident. I'm walking. This is great, right? But then on the way back, there was a couple times that he kind of stopped for a second. He's like, am I going the right way? Am I going the right direction? Am I going to hit a chair? Then he would continue on, right? Now, he did it a lot faster than Roy did it. But Roy could hear my voice. And his eyes were closed, and he couldn't see either. But Roy knew, and he trusted me, that I wasn't going to allow him to run into a chair. So when I told him to walk freely, there was no doubt in his mind that he was clear until he heard me say, what? Stop. Hey, course correct just a little bit and keep going. Roy was believing in himself, and he had confidence in himself, but only because I was giving him instructions. So who was Roy believing in that moment? Me. He had belief in me. He had full confidence in himself because he knew that I wasn't going to let him crash. But his belief wasn't in himself. His belief was in me. Right? And that's this difference between believing in ourselves and belief in ourselves, because we can believe in ourselves, but only because we have belief in the truth in God. The key word in the Gospel of John is believe, which is used as a noun. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the fancy word. But this word belief that he uses in the Gospel of John occurs 98 times in 85 verses. 98 times in 85 verses. It's wild. The Greek verb is used frequently in the present tense and in the past tense. But he uses primarily this noun when he's talking about belief. In other words, John wants us to stress an active, continuous, or vital trust in believing in Jesus. So let's look at some of the examples of John writing about belief. So I'm going to hit these real fast. John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 11:25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. John 6:40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. John 20:31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. Over and over and over and over again, John uses this word belief again and again and again. So who was John? John was a disciple of Jesus. He had a brother named James, who was also a disciple. He was born into a family of fishermen. Jesus referred to James and John as the Sons of Thunder, which is a super cool name. Tells you a little bit about their personalities. John loved Jesus, and Jesus loved John, and he was called the disciple Jesus loved, which I think was a self-given name, if I'm being really honest. No, I'm just kidding. Jesus really did love him. So why did John write so much about belief and about believing in Christ? John 21-9 says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciples started running for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and what? Believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The Scripture tells me a couple of things about John and maybe why he would talk so much about belief. And I'm going to make a few assumptions here. I hope you're okay with assumptions. So don't take this as Scripture, but it is possible that John may have had the personality type that he wanted evidence in everything that he did. If he was going to truly believe something to be true, he wanted to have evidence. And that he didn't believe something just because somebody said it. And even though he did love Jesus, and he probably agreed with all of his teachings, I don't think that John really believed who Jesus said that he was until he saw that Jesus had been resurrected. The Scripture tells us that the two disciples did not understand from the Scripture that Jesus had to raise from the dead. And I think this was the final piece of evidence that John may have needed from the Old Testament prophecies to be able to truly believe that Christ was the Messiah. You see, in today's world, people still need a lot of evidence in order to believe that Jesus was the Son of Man, the Savior of the world. And we've had thousands of years to process this evidence. Can you imagine being a Jew living in that time with the confusion of who Jesus actually was? They all knew what the prophecies were. They all knew what the signs were. They all saw what Jesus could do. Yet for them, it wasn't the Savior that they had imagined him to be. They all wanted a mighty king. They wanted a warrior. They wanted someone to come in with an iron fist and rule over and just be this amazing person that set them free from captivity and did all these amazing things. And yet Jesus came as a humble servant to those who he served. Look at this exchange, John 6, 29 through 52. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna from the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus is in this crowd, and he's talking to this group of individuals, and he's telling them who he is. Like, he's just telling them. And all of a sudden, they're asking Jesus for proof. Like, do you have a passport? Do you have an ID? Do you have something that you can show us that proves that you are God, actually God, and you're not just some dude telling me that you're God? And they're like, I know, you should, if you could just prove it, like when God sent manna down from heaven and they were wandering in the desert and they were starving and you provided for them, if you could do something like that, then maybe I might believe. They wanted cold, hard evidence to believe. Jesus continued on and said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have not seen me, and still, or you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the very last day. For it's my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. So I love what Jesus does here, right? They quote some Old Testament something at Jesus and say, give me a sign like this, the manna from heaven, give us something like that. And he's like, yeah, I can do that, but in words. I'm going to word you, right? And so he flips the whole thing on his head, and he says, I am the bread. I am the one who is going to give you life. I'm not going to provide you with this crazy evidence, but I am going to tell you exactly who I am. Continued on. At this, the Jews begin to grumble, imagine that, about this, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say that I come down from heaven? Jesus says, stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned this and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He, only he, has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the only one who believes has eternal life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. I am the bread of life, but here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews, they begin to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay. Let's be real. First of all, it did not help that Jesus is speaking in riddles here, right? Like we, thousands of years later with a lot of context, can kind of understand what Jesus is talking about here. But in that moment, without the context, without this understanding, without the ability to really comprehend everything that Jesus is saying, it felt like Jesus was just psychobabbling, right? Like he didn't understand what Jesus was trying to truly say. And thousands of years later, we still need all of this evidence. Back then, he performed many signs and miracles for us to believe. And yet, the Jews, the Israelites, the Gentiles, all of them were still limited by what they knew because it was what they were taught by other humans. And Jesus was trying to help them understand, but it wasn't easy. Even those who were closest to him, the disciples, didn't really understand who Jesus was. And didn't truly appreciate the significance of Christ until after he was resurrected. Okay, so here's my point with all of this. John and the other disciples, they loved Jesus. They did. They followed him. They gave up everything they had in order to follow Christ. They felt inspired by his teachings and his miracles and thought he was at least some kind of prophet, but they didn't know and they didn't believe in Christ as the Messiah until he fulfilled his final prophecy. Many of us today, we still don't really have belief in Christ. We have belief in ourselves. We like Jesus' teachings. We like hearing the words of Christ. We might even love God or love Christ and have somewhat of a relationship with him. But once again, there is a big difference between having belief in God and believing in God. I can stand up here all day long and I can give you, I could come every single Sunday with this great motivational speech. And I could talk at you and give you like all this hoorah stuff and like you would go out of here and you'd be feeling great about yourselves and you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to conquer the world with God and this is great, blah, blah, blah. And I could make you feel just wonderful. But is that real belief or is that an action? Like when you leave these doors, when you walk out the door and you're thinking about the things that we've talked about in this room, is there a belief of who God is and a belief in his purpose in your life? Or are you just believing in the teaching that we said for that particular Sunday? Because there's a big, big difference. How do you know if you have belief in God or if you're simply believing in God? Goes back to that graphic that we showed earlier. Do you find yourself continually curved in on yourself? Because I can be believing in God and I can absolutely 100% believe that God is real and that he exists and that he has some sort of purpose in my life. I can have a verb, I can have an action in my life that maybe I read the scriptures and I do all the right things, but I'm still curved in on myself, still believing that I am the focal point of my own story. That I am supposed to be at the center of everything that I do. And then when something doesn't go my way, that I just curl up and that I just curve in on myself. If you truly have belief in God, then your life will be radically different. Why? Because you've emptied yourself. You've gone through the process of kenosis. You've emptied your own desires, your own thoughts, your own beliefs, your own systems, your own truths. You've gotten rid of all of those things, and now you are living in the image of God. Now, this is harder than it sounds, right? And there's no one of us that don't continually go through this process on a weekly basis. I still go through this process on a weekly, daily even basis of figuring out those things in my life that cause me to curve in on myself and trying to empty them so that I can look more like Christ. That is the whole point of our Christian experience here on this earth. But in the moment that you stop that process of continually trying to empty yourself and continually trying to find those things in your life that cause you to not be the image of God, that is when you revert back to just curving in on yourself. If we truly trust God and believe that Jesus is Lord, if we really do believe that in God and trust in Christ, then we will come out of darkness into light. You'll know. You'll know when it's changed. Because this is dark. It's dark. Even the image of being curved in on yourself creates this image, visual image of darkness. But Christ said, if you believe in me, I will bring you out of the darkness and into the light. We can believe on ourselves only because God is at the center of what we do and all we are. But we should never, ever, ever solely put our trust and belief in just ourselves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we believe Proverbs 3 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. God, we believe that statement to be true today. I pray today, God, that you would take the belief out of us and allow us to put our belief instead in you. Help us to seek out, God, every single corner and inch of our lives, of our hearts, of our minds, to find those things, those triggers that constantly cause us to be curved in on ourselves. Help us to empty all of those things out so that, God, we can be your image. Help us to put our belief solely in you, not to lean on our own understanding, not to lean into ourselves, not to be scared to take step forwards, but God, to lean into your wisdom and your will and your way of life, because then, God, we can come out of the darkness and into your light. With every head bowed, every eye closed, for just a second, I want to ask a question, and I want you to be just honest with me today. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to ask you crazy questions, but how many of you feel like sometimes you are in darkness? Yeah, that's like a lot of us in this room. I've got my own hand up. Let me say a prayer for us today. God, I pray for everyone that was honest, that raised their hand today, that says that sometimes we can curve in on ourselves and we can face darkness. My prayer today for them, God, is that God, that you would turn that mourning to dancing, that you would turn that darkness into light, that each time, God, that we begin to curve in on ourselves and we see that darkness coming, God, I pray that you would intervene in those situations. God, that you would make light where there is darkness, that you would bring hope where it feels hopeless. And most of all, God, that you would allow us to be real with other people. Because so many times, God, I know in my life, and I'm sure this is true for everyone else that raised their hands, we face the darkness alone, and we don't have to. Because, God, you've put other people of light here on this earth to help us walk through that darkness. So help us, God, today to be real enough to share with others when we're walking through darkness, so that they can come alongside us and that they can put a little bit of light from themselves into our darkness and help us to pull us into the light. God, you are the giver of light, but God, you've put an initiative in our hearts to spread that light to others. So everyone else in this room, God, who doesn't experience those dark moments, God, I pray today that in those moments of light, that we would look for others who are in darkness, who need to come out of being curved in on themselves, and help us to reach out to them, to pull them out of the darkness so that we can expand your kingdom, so that we can expand your light, so that we can share with others what you've done, and through our hearts, and through our lives. God, in this, all of this, we ask in your holy name, amen.